You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contests with huge cash prizes up for grabs. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users all across sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there is no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's promo code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from. When
from the wild woods of Vancouver Island, welcome to the Soda Pod. Isha Dromi here alongside the State of Hoppy. And thank you for joining us wherever and whenever. Wait a second. Thank you for joining us live at the Soda Pod as we are live streaming for the first time in a while because we're doing a bonus episode because today was a hell of a day. Both on Wild Twitter, Wild NHL news, and in just the state of hockey in general. I'm sitting here with the State of Hoppy. How's it going, buddy?
Man, no one expected Pierre Maguire ending up in a NHL front office being pushed aside a day later. Holy shit.
Well, there was some news that dropped today that no one's even talking about, right?
I don't even know about it.
Montreal re-signed their head coach, Pekka Rinne, retiring with the Nashville Predators, a long and unbelievable career there. All of that was pushed aside because Billy Guerin, I just keep thinking of South Park, but he's got the biggest balls of them all. I can just see him just wheelbarrowing them around, you know?
Jesus. Wheelbarrowing.
Wheelbarrow. What's even the verb there? Wheelbarrow. Cheers. Those who listened to the last podcast, I know the Hoppy and I were a little buzzed for that one. I got off work a little bit early today and just had fun prepping this. So again, I've just been knee deep in these Philips Solaris. This is my third six pack in like a week and a half. So it's hot here and they're easy drinking summer beer. So shout out Philips Brewing.
Well, man, as a Parisian suitor joined the Mark Parrish fraternity of Minnesota Wild buyouts, we gotta do it. Northland vodka. And usually I just pour it like halfway, but today we got it most of the way up there. Ooh. We've got a lot to discuss over beverage here.
So is this a sad day for Minnesota Wild fans, or is this a day to rejoice, or is it somewhere in the middle?
I think it's a little column A, a little column B, right? Like it's sad in the sense that, like, let's be real, the only time of optimism was that 4th of July party 2012, and we all thought that that was going to mean Stanley Cup. And this clearly is the end of any of that era, but I think it's rejoicing and seeing, okay, we've got a GM that doesn't give a fuck. He's going to do whatever he wants. Like you said, big balls, wheelbarrowing them around, and we got exciting things to come, and you know what? Good for Suter and Parisi. I mean, things had obviously gone the wrong way just with the organization, and now they get to go wherever they want, and Suter's probably going to win a Stanley Cup with Vegas next year. So,
you think it's Vegas?
Oh, yeah. It's Vegas.
I saw that on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, people are coming at me for defending Ryan Suter. Surprise, surprise. Literally, as I just turned on my phone here to retweet this broadcast, I got a Rebecca at R. Serler saying, lol, tell us more about how we can't easily replace a 36-year-old defenseman who doesn't score goals and has a shorty attitude, please. You're going to have to pay someone else, Rebecca.
Right, man. That's the tough thing. Like, I understand that, like, the money that we're going to see in year 3 and 4, like, that's going to be there whether or not they're playing. And clearly, Guerin doesn't see them as being part of that, you know, window moving forward. But shit, man, like, you don't just replace Orion Suter out of nowhere, regardless of where you think his game has gotten to. He's a guy that's going to play for another 5 years in the NHL. And
yeah, he was going to age like fine wine, whether it's playing to a $7.5 million cap hit expectation, maybe not. Just 2 years ago, he was on pace for, you know, a career high. It actually was just last season, in 2019-2020, when the pandemic, you know, shortened the NHL season and canceled it there, he had 48 points in 69 games. His career high is 51 points. So he was on pace to have an outstanding offensive output season. So y'all coming at me on Twitter.
Yeah, and we all knew that you'd come out in full defense, right? But, I mean, don't get me wrong, I was shocked. I never expected this to happen, and my first response was, what the hell? Like, this is one of our top four defensemen, right? Like, everyone's worried about losing Dumba. It's not a great thing to be losing Suter as far as just next year's roster construction, right? But if we're looking forward, we're talking 2, 3, 4 years from now, Guerin clearly has a different view and outlook on how this team is going to round out, wants to get other guys into the mix. And I don't know. I'm sure more will be told coming forward, but doesn't want him in the locker room.
Yeah, and you know, Billy Guerin was quoted saying that this is part of the reconstruction of this roster. Not only the culture change, but just moving on. And I get where the people who are really defending Billy Guerin are coming at me for just loving Ryan Suter. Again, surprise, surprise, Minnesota. Like, I understand that if he's going to pull the trigger, now is the time. Now is the time to flip the page. Now is the time. It still doesn't make the situation any better where in 2 seasons from now, you're paying $14 million for 2 years in a row and you have no players to show for him, and you're supposed to be competing for a championship at that point. That's not going to happen.
You know what, Isha, we've already said far too much about the Wild before even taking into any consideration here. Quick Trip probably can't sell Penne anymore. We don't know how they're going to recover from this. They were blindsided by the Wild. Rug pulled out from under them. They just lost the biggest name that's ever been part of Quick Trip. And I just a moment of silence.
Who's gonna replace it?
We're gonna find that out for the Wild too, huh? God, what if Kalen Addison is the new face of Quick Trip? I'll lose my shit. I'm already excited now. All right, we're over that. All right, so is that it as far
just
as
hold on, Hobby. One thing I just want to say for those tuning in on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch, we'll take your comments. You know, we're not going to go too far, too long in this live stream. We mostly just want to have some conversations with you guys. Like I said, I'm going to be checking my Twitter. If you want to comment on any of the platforms in which you're watching this stream, please do. We also have a text and voicemail, 612-324-1684. If you want to text in live or call us, we will hear what you have to say on this Ryan Suter and Zach Parise contract buyout. Sorry, Hoppy.
And anyone that has comments, tell us why you think it was smart, why you think it was dumb, what you think is going to happen next. We want to get all the hot takes here. But wanted to confirm before we move on to the pros column, anything else that you saw as a negative from doing this? Obviously, we have the dead cap, right? We have losing a top four defenseman for the team. Anything else that you see as being bad about this buyout?
No. I mean, the owner was willing to do it. Billy Guerin, I read Michael Russo's article today. Well, a couple of them, actually. The deep dive and the first article that came out when all this news dropped. And Billy Guerin said he had long and hard conversations, you know, with the owner. And, you know, I know there are even ties between, you know, Ryan Suter and ownership of the Minnesota Wild now, dating back to his time with Nashville. So it was a hard conversation to have. Put it this way, Billy Guerin, this is his plan. He had to convince management, or he had to convince ownership. They're working all together, transparency up and down, and everyone's kind of signed off on this plan to, again, develop the roster moving forward. Billy Guerin's really putting his stamp on this team.
And I mean, it's a lot easier for the owner to swallow, right? When it's a couple million dollars over the course of what's left that he actually pays out in real dollars. Oh, no.
Your boy here. Your boy.
Oh, Horwat. No. No.
Nick Horwath of Tip of the Iceberg podcast. This is read out the comment. Read out
conflict of interest here. He says, what would you say about a Marcus Pettersson trade? Seems like you have some defensive holes. And I'm very aware that Marcus Pettersson is absolutely the carrot that's being dangled, trying to move him out, make cap space, and bring in. Shit, they're looking for forwards. I want a goalie over there, but we can dive into Pittsburgh at a later date. This is all Minnesota. No, Minnesota does not want him unless you're going to give the Nick Bjugstad deal. I'd be okay with that. Retain half the salary, and we'll give you a conditional seventh. Horwath, let me know if you agree.
Your boy SV, our friend Shane Van Nys. I'm not a big hockey buff. We know that. But if Suter had that many points two seasons ago, it seems like a bad idea. Again, Shane, it's an opinion. It's an opinion of mine that it's a bad idea out of the two. I mean, Zach Parise being bought out, great. It makes total sense. He was a healthy scratch this year. He's clearly not part of the plans moving forward, and he's declining very, very quickly. Where Ryan Suter, again, for 7.5 mil, yeah, it's expensive, but he still is more than a serviceable defenseman, and he wanted to be here. We got some more comments coming in, but I just want to quickly touch on just how this all went down.
Yeah.
For those who didn't read the Michael Russo article who haven't heard, Zach, so I guess Billy Guerin first called Ryan Suter, who didn't answer his phone, so he missed the call there. Then he called Zach Parise and had, you know, a real talk with him, and both sides, I guess at the end of the day, it was said that it was positive. Parise understood that something was coming. He almost felt relieved at that pressure to perform and, you know, pressure he put on himself, and then not getting the minutes like he would like to and like he was used to, and just how hard it is to play, you know, for a team where you have so many expectations, et cetera, et cetera. And that he's excited to flip the page and, you know, continue his career elsewhere. So it ended amicably. It was a good conversation. Then Zach Parise goes and calls Ryan Suter to tell him that Zach got bought out. While Zach is talking to Ryan, Ryan gets a call again from Billy Guerin, takes the call, less amicable conversation. It was apparently Ryan Suter hung up on Billy Guerin. It didn't go well. It was a little heated. You know, Guerin commented saying, you know, these aren't easy conversations, nothing against the guy. Then Suter calls Parise and tells him that he himself is also bought out, and Parise was blindsided because he didn't know that Suter was being bought out either. So what a crazy, crazy term of events today.
Man. And I mean, if we're going to flip this and talk pros, Isha, I think the biggest thing that we have to take from it is this buys so much breathing room and time now, right? Time to make good decisions and good moves. We've talked about
good choices. You could say,
actually,
you could say make good choices.
You could actually make good choices. That would be the goal. But my
concern is you only have 2 years.
No, but you know,
2 years, and then you're stuck for another 2 years.
He's been here for 2 years, and 17 of the players he started with are gone. He can make shit happen quick. And I know there's some contracts that are not going to get moved, right? It is a little bit stickier of a situation, but look at it now. Like, say you're going for a Jack Eichel with the cap space there. You don't have to get dicked around by Buffalo asking for the moon. You can sit back and wait, because guess what? No one's talking to Buffalo right now. Eventually they're going to be like, shit, I guess we have to lower our ask because we're not keeping him. And same thing on the Dumba front, right? There's nothing being talked about with Dumba for trades because we've got Seth Jones out there. We got Dougie Hamilton out there. People knew that you had your back against the wall with the expansion draft and exposing him. Now you're going to get real offers because people were reaching out to Seattle looking, hey, what's it going to take for me to get Dumba? So I just think the breathing room he's gotten to make good decisions, make the right trades to fill out this lineup. And again, maybe it's not Eichel. It's probably not moving Dumba at this point because he's been pretty candid. And I guess he's been true, right? He wants to keep Dumba. So that's probably happening. And it's just giving him time to make the right moves here. We've got more money that's going to keep gradually coming off. It's a matter of how these young players hit, right?
Exactly. That's a perfect gamble, segue.
Right?
Because what I was going to say is, yeah, the Wild have a ton of entry-level contracts and players to sign moving forward. The thing is, they have to be good enough to play in the National Hockey League to fill those roster spots in the time where the Wild cannot pay shit to anybody. And that's a gamble. And, you know, in Judd Brackett, we trust, you know, that's okay. And I respect Billy Guerin for having that trust in his staff and that this is the plan that's going to occur. Do I think it's all done now? No, not at all. You know, Dylan Kayser of the Stick Hungry podcast and who does Everyday Hockey with me on YouTube pointed out that, you know, you don't see two big buyouts like this and then no trade or nothing as a ripple effect. Like something else is on the horizon and, you know, cap recapture would have been a nightmare. So if one of them retired, so I understand that you got to pull the trigger. Now,
you're going to sleep well at night knowing that that can't come back to bite you now.
Yeah, so cap space for the Minnesota Wild this offseason, and we've talked about it on this podcast, and everybody who follows Minnesota Wild knows that they have a lot. They have two big players to sign for next season in Kirill Kaprizov and Kevin Fiala. Their $15.9 million of cap space just grew to $26.2 million. Oh, I forgot. They also now can bring back Ian motherfucking Cole,
please,
baby.
Inject that into my veins. Sign him to a 2-year deal. It works out perfect. Give him shit. Give him 2.5 now. You can afford that. Yes, they need to bring him back to solidify this team. Get him and Addison as a perfect third pairing. And then we just got to find someone that can slot in as that number four defenseman. Now, whether that exists, you know, in the organization or if we got to go out and find someone that's maybe somewhat of a bargain, I don't know. Wait and see. But the biggest thing here, Ishan, I think this is kind of a double-edged sword. We've got the expansion talks, right? And the Minnesota Wild fans know all too well how bitter they were about how things went down with Vegas. People still curse them for Tuck. And we get to give the big middle finger to Seattle because they are going to be stuck with what they get now. So that's fun. That's true. Fun. But on the other edge of the sword.
Wait. Actually, the Wild are going to send a second round pick and Victor Ask is going to get the hell out
of
town.
It's going to cost more than a second round pick, man. would you give a first to do that?
No, he's only got one more year.
That's how I feel, man. If he had any term, I would do it in a heartbeat. But 1 year,
yeah,
they can stomach it this year. Don't even worry about it. Bury him on the depth chart.
You can bite the bullet. So yeah, they can protect one more forward, one more defenseman. Now a couple more comments coming in, so I'll just get to those quick. Brady Leivold, actually former professional hockey player, WHL stud. You can check out his podcast, Hockey to Hell and Back. Said just joining Suter's valuable to any team. And I think he will join another team. I think many teams will want to have him. And he's probably gonna make $3 million to $4 million AAV.
No, he's not, because the other edge of the expansion sword is now the team that we hate so goddamn much in Vegas is going to get him for cheap because he wants to go win a cup and he wants to stick it to Bill Guerin and the Minnesota Wild. It's absolutely going to happen. Just sit back and wait. Because guess what?
Sure. If he gets offered $4 million somewhere, he's going to take it.
Alec Martinez gone. That is the gap they need filled. They've already got what they need. That this is a team that can compete. They had a tough bout going first round against Minnesota, who gave them way more of a test than they expected, physically and athletically. Then you've got Colorado, which, come on, that's not easy to win, and then they just ran out of gas against Montreal. And who do they have to beat in their division next year? Absolutely no one.
What about potentially joining his former defensive partner in that Belle Province? I'm just throwing it out there. Sean Cosgrove, he says Jay Fresh's numbers suggested that Suter was becoming a defensive liability, something like 38th percentile. Yeah, maybe off of this season, but you look at the last few and correct me if I'm wrong. You can, you know, as Sean does, and I thank you for that. you can go back and check, but I'm pretty sure the last few years it hasn't been much of an issue. Sure, a little bit of a decline, but he's still, again, a valuable second pairing defender. And if there's tools in front of him who can put the puck in the back of the net, tools that haven't really been with the Wild, and he still is able to be an assist machine, a second assist machine, but still, I mean, you go on a team with some skill, and I still think he's got some juice there, even if he stays back in the tight in the neutral zone or heavy in the defensive zone. We got Curtis Branham saying Quick Trip will find
Curtis,
somebody.
We've already solved
Curtis,
it.
Curtis, who do you
already
think?
Solved it.
But Hoppy obviously wants his boy, but do you have any suggestions, Curtis? I'd love to hear
everyone's suggestion for the next Quick Trip sponsor. Let's do it. But do we have any disagreement here on where Zach Parise is going to end up? Like, is it not just written in stone already that he's going to take a league min deal to go play for the Islanders?
I mean, it's set in stone. The Never Say Die podcast, our boys of the Hockey Podcast Network, as well as the Nassau Men, they're already talking about it, tweeting about it. I mean, they all believe that that's what's going to happen. That's where Zach Parise wants to play. You know, I mean, he obviously loved his time in Minnesota. Based on the Russo article, though, I mean, he's okay with a fresh start, and I imagine that, you know, that almost happened just over a year ago, and I think that now there's the freedom to do so. His father played there, Lou Lamoriello connection, that's where he's going to go.
And, I mean, look at them. Look at what they've done the last 2 years. Why wouldn't you want to join that team as a depth piece?
Yeah, absolutely. Brady Levo comments, again, Kirill Kaprizov reportedly turned down a massive $72 million offer from the Wild. He's reportedly turned down his camp and Kirill Kaprizov turned down a few offers, some of which have been paying him, you know, north of $8-9 million per season.
Do you want me to run it down again, man? Yeah, like it's pretty cut and dry here, right? Like we've talked about it a few times, but he wants a short-term deal for several reasons. First off, does not want this to be his last ticket. He needs to get another contract that he can sign before he turns 30. That means we're talking 2 or 3 year deal more than likely.
The Panarin effect, if you will.
But that's not the Panarin effect. Panarin wanted out.
No, but you know what I mean with the way his contracts work.
Right, but it's basic math for any agent. But then there's the piece where, again, you see everything that just happened here today and all of the question marks that still remain. Why do you want to lock in for 8 years to an organization that you have no idea what the framework's going to look like in 2 or 3 years? He doesn't even know who his center is going to be yet. As of now, it's still penciled in as Rask.
Hoppy, he may not know the centers, but he knows what the framework's going to look like from this team because everybody who reads Cap Friendly can see the framework now.
Yeah, that's fair. The framework exists.
Oh, man.
Probably the wrong choice of words, but...
Honestly, though, like if the Fiala deal is easier to get done now, if it's, hey, I want 6 years with this team and I'm willing to take, you know, seven... AAV, Billy Guerin, lock it up and deal with Kaprizov after. And if Kirill doesn't want to stay here, if he doesn't want to sign here, dangle him somewhere else.
Seven's the highest I'm going for Fiala.
And that's okay. And if the cap, in a non-COVID world, and if the cap would have gone up a bit, I would have no problem with them paying around $8 million for Fiala. I think he's that good. Right now, yes, that's the number that he has to come in on a long-term deal. On a short-term deal, well, we said maybe it could have been higher, but Fiala's not taking a short-term deal. He just got off a bridge deal, and he's proven that he is, you know, just on the brink of being an elite player in the National Hockey League.
No, and he shouldn't take a cheap deal, but I think 6x8 is fair. 6 AAV.
Yes. Vaxxed Clown.
Vaxxed.
I wonder what... Vaxxed. Or Vaxxed Clown, sorry.
Spocked.
Little screen here. I'm having a hard time reading your comments, folks. Bear with me. I wonder with Zuccarello's contract turning into a 10-team next year, I do believe, if G-Unit is going to end up trading him.
Definitely want to normalize us referring to Bill Guerin as G-Unit. I don't know what the structure is for his no-move clause, so I don't know. Can't comment.
We'll get back to you, or we'll try to get Russo to comment
to
it when
be confirmed.
When he has some free time and answers my emails. Anyways, love you, Mike. Where else do you want to go with this news here? Do you want to just talk about a couple other things that we've heard throughout the day that are Wild related?
We can, but I think it needs to be said, like, straight up, the Wild are not where they're at right now as an organization without the Parisian suitor signings. Like, regardless of what happened, I don't care how many playoff series they won. That's a huge disappointment, but we can...
Hey, they made the playoffs 8 out of 9 years that they were there.
I blame the GM largely for them not being able to get over the hump, but like those players put the Wild on the map. That's the first thing we've had a reason to get excited for. We probably have double the fans now that we would have if they weren't here. And I hope that they both do okay to round out the rest of their careers. No ill will. Like, again, I was absolutely celebrating as hard as I could on Big Island when I found out that happened. So.
It's funny. I remember where I was too. Now, not invested in the Minnesota Wild team
or
at
America,
all at that
or
stage.
Or America.
But I just had graduated high school. I think I was a year and a half or two years removed from high school. I was working at a paint shop in Calgary, going to Flames games, you know, rooting for the Canucks, actually diving into the WHL. So I was just into the hockey world. I was a complete hockey nerd. And I remember it was like mid spray and I was spraying like the inside of a cabin. My phone was just going nuts. It was like boom, 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 like buzzing left, right, and center. Got a notification from TSN, Sportsnet, whatever else I was subscribed to, hockey news. And it was just Ryan Suter, Zach Parise. They signed, you know, 13-year deal. I'm like, holy shit. I remember I'm a damn good painter for fine woodworking. And I had the biggest run that I think I've ever had inside of a cabinet because I was just like, my phone was going nuts and I was so distracted. And I will admit, I did a quick glance. You know, when I stopped for the corner and it fucked up the whole process. So a little bit different, wasn't necessarily celebrating, but I even remember exactly where I was when that went down. And, you know, I can't say the same for other big deals that were signed in the National Hockey League around that time.
There you go.
What a story that was. Vex Clown says, Garen said he was going to have to play some younger talent to fill in the gaps. Who do you think fills the spots? Whoever can.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, to be honest. Like, I think we know by the end of next season how a lot of those are filled, but I just don't know how prepared Garen is to throw them into the NHL at this point. I think the closest, if we're being honest, is Addison. But I don't think that you throw him in right away as a second pairing guy. I think you throw him in on that third pairing, get him in on second power play. Maybe you even throw him in on the top power play to build some confidence for him. And let's be real, he is the best offensive defenseman they have. But from there, like Rossi is ultimately, he has to be a one or a two C, and that's not going to happen right out of the gate. He needs to play in Iowa to get his legs back under him and play some real hockey. But by the end of the year, I fully expect him to be in the lineup. Maybe he's not like a game breaker yet, but he should be getting in and playing meaningful minutes at that point. Boldy, who knows? We'll see when he gets in.
We've heard that Manel talks, as Vex Clown says, have been heating up.
I'll believe it when he's here.
Things kind of soured last year, played out in Russia. He did damn good playing in Russia. I don't know if he led all defensemen, but I do know that he was up there in scoring.
And again, the guy can play. That was never the issue. It was him wanting what he wanted and not hearing anything else from management. So he said, okay, I'll go to the KHL.
Which is an interesting one. Before we end things off here, quickly touch on the fact that Darren Dreger today on TSN said that the Minnesota Wild are undoubtedly the biggest team in on Jack Eichel, and that if Jack Eichel is going to be traded anywhere, that Darren Dreger believes, as well as various reporters, that this is the team where he is going to land. Given everything that occurred today, Hoppy, how does it A, coincide, and B, how does it make you feel? Because I see that there's a big shit-eating grin on your face there.
Hey, man, everyone hates it. Everyone hates me for liking it. Everyone says there's no way it'll happen. And again, to my point earlier with these buyouts, the benefit is we got time to sit back and wait now. We can wait as long as we want. Guess what? Even if we wait until end of the summer, beginning of the season, and Eichel misses most of the regular season, whatever. That's one season gone. And he is going to be the best player that this organization has ever had as long as the neck thing works itself out. And Garen's not making that move unless he has confidence that that's going to right the ship, right?
Yeah, I think whatever big move he's preparing for is gonna make waves for this franchise and this market for the next few years. Like this is huge here. This is turning a massive page. This is closing the book on an era, a core. Because let's be honest, there's not much, if anything, really left from that, unless you count Spurgeon and Dumba, who were the young guys at that time.
Yeah, and talking about young guys, the only way that I have a problem here is, again, if we're talking about the trades that, you know, the recent asking price has been pretty ridiculously high. If we're sending two firsts, Boldy and Rossi, I don't think anyone's going to stand for that. And I don't think Guerin is either. And that's why nothing has happened. But tell you what, if it's Boldy and a first or two, and then whatever else gets thrown in, like, I don't have any problem with that.
No, excited to see how the rest of this already projected busy offseason for Billy Guerin now plays out with a ton more cap space, with, again, the blueprint, at least the most basic blueprint of what this team is going to look like down the road, you know, for Kaprizov's eyes, for all of our eyes. It's going to be fun now to see what plays out and to report and have fun with it with you, Hoppy, the viewers and the listeners here on this podcast in the last couple months of summer.
Yeah, man. And anyone who thinks that we have outlandish takes here, you haven't seen shit. Because our episode that's going to drop on Friday includes everyone on Wild Twitter's favorite, Judd Zolgad, who absolutely brings the heat, has all the hot takes and interesting perspective, and I can't wait for people to get riled up by what the three of us can come up with.
And we booked him as a guest before this news went down, before we woke up to this morning. So he's just licking his chops. You know, Judd, he always brings a beer. He knows the protocol here on the Soda Pod. I can imagine Judd right now, and if you're watching, bring a six-pack, Judd. It's going to be a long night.
Man, I hit him up earlier today. I'm just like, man, I don't know if we're going to come up with anything to talk about on Wednesday. And he's just like, God damn it.
By the way, Dylan Kazer says a sick hoodie. Oh, I'm just gonna show it off.
He didn't say it was you. Oh, okay.
He knows it was me. we have a merch store. Just search up on Google Teespring, THPN. I'll keep posting the link. We have some exclusive summer merch items coming out, but we have some great USA exclusive items, much like this hoodie I'm wearing right now. Hoppy, zoom in on me right now.
Oh, absolutely. Oh dear God.
USA.
That was hot.
All available on Teespring. THPN shirts, USA, THPN, I think tank tops. We got hats coming. We have fanny packs. We got crew necks. We got everything. Go check it out. Again, some summer special items on the horizon. Teespring, THPN, or you can check the link at the Soda Pod. That about wraps it up for this bonus live stream. We're not going to post this entire show here as a podcast. We're going to take clips of it and add it to the Wednesday episode. So for those who are tuning in and out, you will have the Minnesota Wild talk, the Parise and Suter talk on the episode that will drop tomorrow, as well as a Make Good Choices segment with our boy Q and a Judge Joey segment. Hoppy already said Friday, we're bringing on Judge Zolgad, and that one will be a ton of fun wrapping out the week that was Wild news with the Ryan Suter and Zach Parise buyout in particular. Look, we got some requests actually to see your hoodie now, Hoppy. They call him Slim Shady.
They call me Shady.
Again, thanks to everyone who tuned into the live stream, who tunes into the podcast, and thanks to everyone who downloads the podcast on your podcast apps, whether that's Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever. Folks, the best thing you can do for us this week, any week, is to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Leave us a kind review or just tell us what you're drinking. Drop us with a wild take. We don't care. If you leave us 5 stars in comment, it just boosts our ranking on Chartable, and we really, really appreciate that. If you're a fan of hockey podcasts and want more just, you know, outside the Wild market and in general, go check us out, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. We have a podcast for you. Just remember to download the episode before you listen, as it just helps our business. Shout out to DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. You can use promo code THPN upon sign up for a bonus. If you're a regular user, plug that promo code in for a weekly deal. You can follow myself at VI Sports Talk. You can I just read Dylan's comment. Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? You can follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod. Hoppy, where can they find you?
You can find me at State of Hoppy, and I just looked right now, and apparently I'm 4 followers away from 1,500. So, hey, if there's 4 of you out there, I'd appreciate it.
There you go. Call to action here on the Soda Pod bonus live stream. That's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Download the new podcast, dropping Wednesday, dropping Friday. Signing off, I'm Isha Dromi alongside the State of Hoppy, and this has been the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We good, man?
We good.
Don't fear, just drink some beer. Shout out, Phillips, and stay wild.